Welcome to Veterinary Advice, Animal News, and Views, the place for pets and the people who love them.
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Here are your hosts, practicing veterinarians Dr. Roger Welton and Dr. Karen Lewis.
Hello, pet lovers, and thank you for listening to another episode of Veterinary Advice, Animal News, and Views. I am Dr. Karen Lewis, as you probably know, and with me is my favorite co-host, Dr. Roger Welton. We're both practice owners. I'm in Illinois. He's in Florida. And in Illinois, we're preparing for the icepocalypse of tomorrow. I don't know if anyone has heard about this in the news, but everything is closed down. Nothing's happening. It's sunny, but the world is shut down. So how are you, Dr. Roger? Is your world okay?
Doing very well. Yeah, we thought our world was ending earlier in the week. It actually dropped to 37 overnight here, and people were losing their minds. I swear to you, I'm not exaggerating. People were outside throwing blankets on their, landscaping.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? It's like everybody thinks they're going to die. But I hope that goes well for you tomorrow. That ice storm sucked because you can lose power.
Yeah.
In the cold, which losing power when it's hot really sucks because you're hot and there's no air conditioning. But I think it might be worse when you're cold.
Oh, but when it's cold, realize I'm married to an engineer. So
true.
He has MacGyvered such crazy crap that we can do with this house without power running on. I don't even know what it runs on. He has like a boat battery or something that he does.
That's a great asset.
I just smile and hold the flashlight where I'm told. So.
Nice. Well, hopefully he won't have to break out those skills, but it's good to know you're in good hands if anything goes south on you.
Oh, yeah.
So happy New Year to you and yours, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we have it was a good New Year so far. We're 2 weeks into it already, so I feel kind of weird saying Happy New Year. But
It is, but it's our first broadcast of the New Year, isn't it, I believe?
Yeah, it is, and I love your article on New Year's resolutions for pet owners.
Yeah, so. It's part of it is goals, part of it is, me ranting about things, and so I'm glad you took the positive out of it.
You rant? No.
No, not at all. No, I don't hold back. And, I definitely pay the price sometimes on the internet when the trolls come out.
I've never had trolls come out. I guess I'm just not controversial or ranty enough.
Yeah.
I've never had trolls come out.
Trolls are great,
though. I just
get spam
for, like, escorts in Dubai.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. You're very popular in Dubai.
Apparently.
Yeah, I got it. There's a way to keep those out. I'll have to discuss that with you sometime.
I remember getting a lot from Dubai.
But the trolls are great because they, on one hand, they're saying god awful things about me, they're making all kinds of assumptions. On the flip side of that, though, there's no such thing as bad publicity, and they're like providing content to my site. So I'm like, all right, go ahead, lambaste me all you want. Call me the biggest loser on the planet. I'm all good. That just rolls right off. So
wow.
So pet resolutions. You have actually one very important one of your own that I think is a great one to start with. So why don't we start there?
Okay, because I actually we did not plan this, by the way, but Dr. Roger wrote his article on New Year's resolutions for pets. And I think like within days of each other, reposted an article I'd written on weight loss in pets because, as you know, New Year's brings every diet and weight loss scam ever known to God. Every fitness thing, gym memberships are half price, the drill. And I was like, well, you know what? Why not mention weight loss in pets? Because apparently that's, apparently supposed to be on all of our minds. Although around here, everyone just got done buying eggs, bread, and milk for the ice storm. But before that, we were losing weight.
Right,
but now we're all,
Of course, yeah. Plenty of comfort food for the storm.
Yes. So I was just talking about different things about weight loss. And basically, if your vet has ever said your pet needs to lose weight, what better time than now? If you're going to – and even if you're not trying to lose weight, then it gives you more energy to focus on your pet. So I went into – some detail, the big take-home point that a lot of people don't know, and Dr. Roger, you work in a clinic, so you probably are more frustrated by this than I am, because I go to people's houses, but when you ask how much does your dog eat, and they give you an index finger and thumb, this much, twice a day, and then you say, what kind of food, and they say, it's the green bag from the tractor supply store, and you're like, Okay, thank you for that. Do we have that right?
We follow every color of every food that gets stocked everywhere, including the Tractor Supply store.
I've actually once, I only had to know, I was at a clinic, and I only had to know this, it was a cat was eating. I went online and I made like a cat food bag lineup. And I was like, could you pick it out of a lineup? And so they actually did. Anyway.
That's good. But, you're lucky.
God love the internet. But in house calls, it's nice because, well, most of the time the bag's there. Although sometimes, you know, people dump it in bins and stuff and, you know, I don't know the food. But I can always see the bowl and the measuring cup. And one cup, let me tell you, is a very loose term.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. I've seen one cup be a solo cup. I've seen one cup be a gas station 42-ounce always cold beverage styrofoam cup. Yeah. And I've seen it be an actual like 8-ounce measuring cup. So when people say cup, I'm like, and, you know, then they pull out the gas station cup and I'm like, okay. So I always tell people the biggest thing is find out how much your dog or cat is eating, because you throw it in the bowl and some of these dogs and cats are grazers and you never know. I mentioned in the article I had one client who swore his dogs didn't eat too much. Two dogs share a bowl. And he said, oh, they get 3 cups a day of food, I promise. And I said, okay. So I walked over to the bowl and I said, is this about how much they eat in a day? And he said, yes. I got out my measuring cup. 12 cups that bowl.
That's crazy.
I was counting out loud. When I got to 8, he was like, you can stop. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm just getting warmed up, dude.
That's 84 ounces.
I'm like, do you know how much money you're going to save on dog food?
Oh my
Do you have any idea? Oh, my God. You can buy a car.
Oh, my goodness.
So, bottom line, no, really, really no. Buy a measuring cup from the dollar store or whatever and measure it, because 9 times out of 10, you're feeding way more than you think you are.
And most vets have measuring cups we give away.
Yes, you know, they're free.
And they're exactly 8 ounces or exactly 1 cup for real.
Which, yes.
You know, it always amazes me. It looks like a Dixie cup, but it's a cup.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So this one, I have two companies that gave me cups. One is Royal Canin, and theirs is like the cup with the little handle on it, like you would cook with. And then Hills, who makes Science Diet, gave me these cups. And they're like you said, almost like a shot glass shape.
Yeah. The clearish. Yeah.
Yeah. And they look so small. I'm like, this is not 8 ounces. Uh-huh. This is not. And, you know, so I'm like at home pouring water in it and measuring it. But the difference is it's taller, but it's skinny. And so I call it husband proof. Because my husband will take the wide, short, stubby measuring cup and make it heaping.
Oh, of course. Yes.
And be like, this is one cup. It's like there's like food, like, you know, teetering on the edge. And then, this cup, because it's so tall and kind of narrow, you really can't heap a lot on top. You can try. But it won't. And so people who are like, well, my husband feeds, I'm like, and here's your husband proof cup.
Here's your husband proof cup.
So,
yeah.
No offense.
So I don't even have the Royal Canin ones. Those are I so agree with you. There's way too much potential for abuse on those. And you definitely got to go with the husband proof cups. And the husbands are the worst offenders. They really are.
Yes.
They're just terrible. Like, why is it the guys that must overfeed? I don't understand. I mean, you know. Some women are guilty of it, but it's usually the dudes.
Well, I guess they're just like, oh, blah, 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 scoop it, throw it in the bowl, go, and no one's not like, and maybe guys aren't used to baking as much and not used to, like, you know, leveling cups, but I had many, many meetings with my husband about how to fill the cup. It's not as simple as it sounds.
I think they associate feeding the animals and keeping them full as a way of like loving them.
Yes.
You know?
And, oh, yeah. And when you have a dog who, like mine, like if you just mention the word food, you have like, you know, frolicking, romping things, you know, and they're all so happy. He's like, but look how happy they are. I have to give them more.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Keep frolicking. Yes. You have them snowed. So, yes.
They haven't trained well.
So anyway, but this episode isn't all about just weight loss, but I was just going to point that out as being a huge thing. But what kind of goes along with that is one of the ones that Dr. Roger said, which was to take your dog for a walk.
Yeah, it segues very nicely into that, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was totally on accident, but it kind of worked.
It worked very well. I'm glad you went first, because it definitely segues. So it can get weight off, right? It's exercise, and you wrote a great article a while back about the benefits of walking your dog versus just playing in the backyard, right? And that, I thought that was really good because it's so true that there's a huge difference in the two because they're in the backyard every day. They go out there to poop and pee on a regular basis. It's familiar territory. They've been there, done that. You let them go out that front door, the tail's wagging. They're looking around. They're stimulated. For my old boy, I got a big Labrador Retriever who's going to be 11 years old in February. And for him to get out there, I just see his brain so stimulated and he's sniffing and just he's so happy for those 20-25 minutes that I take him around the block. And the kids pick up on it. My 8-year-old son and 6-year-old daughter are like, is it time for Bernie's energy walk? You know, they want to come too. And it's always, you know, it gets darker a little bit earlier right now. And so we're under the stars and it's just a good experience. Pardon me.
And actually, that's okay. And my husband and I, right now we have 3 of our dogs in a foster. So walking 4 dogs at once with one person is not cool. No. I've done it. It's not pretty.
Yeah.
But so we each take 2 dogs and it's actually the only time that we ever actually talk because he's not at a computer and I'm not writing records and doing phone calls and emails, which I'm doing 24/7, it seems, you know, so it's actually kind of good for us too. And we'll walk different dogs together, you know, just to mix things up. Well, sometimes I'll take the 2 big and he'll take the 2 little or whatever, you know, and I think it's good for the whole family actually more than just the dog.
It is indeed. It is. And, you know, just the dog teaches you that, you know, the beauty of just a nice walk, you know, and hearing the sounds of nature and the sniffing to me is really, really important. You know, I don't ever stop Bernie from sniffing, you know. Sometimes it gets really annoying. I'm just like, all right, for the love of God, will you take a step forward?
But, I know.
But the sniffing, and sometimes
when we have 4, there's always one that wants to sniff and 3 that don't. So yeah, we're kind of like,
so you're being pulled like.
Oh, God. And we always have the I have 2 dogs who love to eat anything gross they can find. And so when they so you have to watch because they'll sniff and all of a sudden they start gulping. You have to like be ready to, you know, yank it because, oh God, they've eaten such disgusting things. So you're lucky your dog, you can just let sniff and like drop your guard.
Yes.
Must be nice.
That's true. But occasionally he'll come across a rotten reptile of some kind that often there's some dead stinky toad. The stinkier, the better. That's maggots in it. But no, normally he's just sniffing other dogs in the neighborhood that have tromped there. And you know what I've noticed? Since I've really committed to walking him every night, he sniffs less than he did in the beginning. You know,
It's old news.
It's he's like he's still sniffing, but it's like he's not like, oh my God, I'm outside. I gotta smell everything. You know, it's cool. I really love it. So
oh,
that's
yeah.
definitely a resolution I think for everybody should have.
Because we'll go to a park that we haven't been to in a while, and when we've been there a while, they're like, we walk more and there's less sniffing. But, oh my God, if we haven't been there for a few weeks, we can barely get out of the parking lot because it's like, you'll have to stop and sniff every blade of grass and every leaf. And I'm like, well, this might just be our walk, standing around the parking lot.
Well, you know, and that's so important to them because I believe it was quantified that they actually, their sense of smell is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my recollection is 200 to 300,000 times more acute than ours, depending on the breed. So like it's believed by experts that actually research this, that they put together entire like landscapes in their minds based on their sense of smell, something that we can't even comprehend it. You know, it's so important to them. So stimulating. I think you mentioned it actually in your doggy dementia article. You talked about walking the dog as a means to stimulate the mind.
Right. But, well, because we can't give him a Sudoku puzzle or whatever, you know. And so if you want mental stimulation, that's a way to do it, you know.
Yeah, totally.
So, but yeah, so we've discovered that, and it does help because we have a couple dogs, I mentioned this in my article, with aggression issues. And it actually has helped. Our issues are not resolved, but they're better. And it's helped everybody just kind of, I don't know, take a load off, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you get some of that nervous energy out of them, and I know you're not a fan of Cesar Millan, but I think that's one good point that he makes with these really nervous, anxious dogs that have such anxiety-driven behavioral issues. He says to walk them an hour. You need to walk them an hour a day, you know, and that's actually advice that I give because it does help get some of that nervous energy, get the vinegar out of them, I guess.
Yeah.
Piss and vinegar or whatever you want to call it. Well, they definitely get rid of a lot of piss. My dog's not neutered. And he doesn't lift his leg. I mean, we got him neutered well before sexual maturity. and he'll still pee about 4 or 5 times on that walk.
Oh yeah.
So I don't quite understand that, but at any rate, you have another pet resolution?
So, well, my big one is, and this is also for, I've been seeing so many orthopedic dogs lately, but if you have a surgery that you've been putting off, stop putting it off. Like all of my torn cruciate dogs that I see, ACL tears, people are like, well, maybe I'll do it after the holidays.
Right.
Holidays are over. Here I am.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Or even just any kind of, I mean, it's stuff that's not an emergency. I mean, I'm trying to be cool. I'm like, yeah. Dude, I get it. It's November. If you want to wait to do the sedation and x-rays for your dog's elbow, whatever it is, and talk to the holidays, it's cool. But okay, yeah. That wasn't an excuse. That was me being sincere. So now that the holidays are over, we need to get figuring out why your dog is limping or doesn't want to walk or whatever is going on with your dog. So if your vet recommended something and you're like, well, we'll put off after the holidays and there was more of an excuse to never do it, we're on to you.
Yes. Agreed.
Holidays are over.
and the big one that's put off is dentistry. And
oh, amen, brother.
Mm-hmm. And Animal Dental Health Month is actually in February. So a lot of veterinary clinics actually put on dental specials, which I ceased to do because dental specials only in the month of February, what was happening was people would really hold out all year long, and then suddenly, all of a sudden, we have 5,000 dentals to do in February. So we actually stopped doing the veterinary or the dental month discount. Like I stopped that. I think I'm 3 years removed from doing that because it was just too many darn dentals in February, and then you'd see the periodontal disease and, you know, 6 months earlier, but they'd want to hold out till that February. So
yep. You
give them an estimate for like a grade 2 and now it's a grade 4 with erosions up into their nasal sinus. And, oh, sorry, things are much worse now, but you do get 10% off, which is really nice. Yeah. Off your $2,000 oral surgery bill.
One of the practices I help out at, they started out doing, you know, February dental month. And I think another reason February became dental month was because it's like the slowest month of the year.
Sure.
Usually for clinics, so why not do dentals? But they couldn't fit them all in. And so basically now from December through March is dental month. I'm like, guys, that's like a third of the year. What's the point?
Yeah.
just give up.
Seriously, and come the last week of February, we have dentals like coming out of our nostrils. And people are calling, oh, can I get an extension? And these are really good clients, really good people that, you know, legitimately just forgot. And they're like, oh, my God, it's about to. And then we'd extend it 2, 3, 4 weeks. And now you're doing them in March.
Yeah.
Same thing. So what we do instead now is we just do our 10% 30-day compliance discount. Hey, we're going to reward your compliance, not the time of the year you do it. You know, you do it within 30 days.
That makes a lot more sense.
It does. It does. But I'm sure there's still many clinics out there that are doing the dental month specials. So
there's one place who they turn into an assembly line because you have so many dentals to cram in. And so what happens is I tell my clients, do not do a dental during dental month because it's an assembly line. You have technicians doing dentals who don't normally do dentals, but they're having them kind of any warm body they can, like, here, do this dental. I mean, the anesthesia is not monitored nearly as well.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen, it's just no. If it's a 2-second spit and polish, fine. You know what I mean? But a lot of these aren't, and it's not good. And I used to work at a place that was crazy about dental month. It was the most stressful month for us doctors because I felt like I needed to be an octopus because I had to have my hands and like all these different things and at once going on. And I was like, oh, February is also the shortest month of the year. Thank God. For that reason alone.
Yeah.
So.
And not to harp on teeth too much, but honestly, like, you know, you have 4 dentals or 5 dentals in a row, it can wear on your soul a little bit. I mean, we had the episode, they don't call it pulling teeth for nothing. You know, it's sometimes very, very difficult surgery getting those teeth out. You know, especially like, you know, you get a greyhound. Oh my God, I could spend 2 hours pulling teeth on a greyhound. So yeah, not something I want to do nothing else but for an entire month.
I can't do dentals anymore because ever since I messed up my shoulder amputating a dog's leg, there's a certain motion when you pull a tooth. You have to have your elbow up pretty high. Like, imagine if you pick up your elbow and you're like pouring a drink. And if you do that, when you're pulling teeth, your elbow is in that position for hours.
Yeah.
And it's, apparently I didn't know this, but it's rough on the rotator cuff. Who knew? So.
Yeah. No, I've actually gotten sore after a big dental day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, you can't switch hands. Don't pull a tooth left-handed if you're right-handed.
Oh, God, no.
No. So I tried that once because my arm hurt so bad. I couldn't move my right arm at all. And I tried my left, and I was like, no. No.
Oh, it's funny because I can spay a dog from both sides of the table. I brought that up. But with a neuter, I always have to be on the same side. You know, the left hand holding it down and...
Yeah, I get it.
Can't jump both anyway.
Well, anyway.
Tangent. So since we're speaking about discounted dentals, and that kind of segues into the cost of veterinary care, I really believe that owners have to get really serious about purchasing pet insurance. So statistically in this country, 3% of pet owners have pet insurance. Do you know how many statistically have it in Europe? 50%.
Really?
50%, yeah. And life is good for the veterinarians in Europe. And the reason being is that half of the time they don't have cost constraints. Because if you work with people that have pet insurance, well, it's a good pet insurance, they're not hesitant about aggressive workups and doing what needs to be done. And they're not going to procrastinate necessarily and put it off for longer than they should. Now, I would warn that I've learned through, unfortunately, the hard way for some of my clients that a lot of veterinary pet insurance companies have been bought up by human pet insurance companies, and that hasn't been a good thing for the industry, as if you can imagine. There's no Obamacare in the pet industry, so they can go through all the shenanigans of pre-existing and caps on lifetime care.
And they love the pre-existing condition game.
Love the
pre-existing. Yes, that's the favorite card to play.
Absolutely. So, you know, do your due diligence. I'm not going to sit here and tell you who has been bought up by human pet insurance companies. My pockets are not that deep and don't feel like getting a lawsuit. But just do your due diligence and make sure that all they do is pet insurance. The company that I really love, and they're not writing me a check for this, is Trupanion. Karen, do you have any experience with Trupanion?
A lot of my clients, I had a few that had pet insurance, and I don't even ask them which one, because when they have pet insurance, all it means is, will you sign this paper that says I was here? But what's your experience with Trupanion?
Very, very good. I mean, so most of them, even the good ones, generally won't reimburse for 60 days. So, you know, if you have, say, a cruise ship, it's going to cost you a couple $1,000, a knee surgery that your dog needs, well, you got to front that for 60 days. That's tough for some folks, even to throw it on a credit card.
And I think we need to point out, actually, that, with pet insurance, you pay the vet, and then you pray that you get reimbursed. So
yeah, that's how it works, yeah.
You have to have the money. It's not like, you know, oh, I don't have any money, I have pet insurance. It doesn't matter. You still have to come up with money for the vet, and then the insurance company gives it back to you. There's no insurance company paying the vet, which makes it tricky if you don't have the money to initially front, like Dr. Roger was saying.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Now, Trupanion, what makes it a little easier, they pay you in 3 days. So.
Oh, nice. So you only starve for 3 days.
You only starve you ramen noodles for 3 days. Right. And they actually have a new program that actually my office is looking into, where they do pay direct to the vet minus the deductible. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So we're looking into applying for that. So it kind of streamlines the process and makes it easier for the owners. But the bottom line is that the cost of veterinary care, from the standpoint of our costs, so us, the care providers, especially the brick-and-mortar hospitals, our costs go up about 4-6% a year. And that happens every year, no matter what the economy is doing. Whether it's the first year of the Great Recession or it's the fifth year of a bull market, it doesn't matter. It's going to go up 4-6%. Rate of inflation is somewhere between, high twos and high threes on a given year. You do the math, the cost of veterinary care, or let's say our cost, goes up by close to double sometime on some given years. It's outpacing it, and the earning potential of people isn't keeping up with it either. And so I really feel that there's gonna be a major disconnect at some point in the ability to provide quality care and have people afford it, because it's not that we're gouging, but if my lab fees, my lab reference fees go up 6% in a given year, I can't eat those costs and still remain a solvent business. I have to raise the fees to keep up with that. Dr. Karen, you own your own practice. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but, well, I'm a big softy and I'm a small practice. So when the lab raises the fees, I look at, I'm so anal retentive. I actually have a spreadsheet that I made of each one, and I'm like, well, you know, that blood panel was $99. Raising it to be $104, I just don't like that. I'll just keep it $99 and suck it up. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do. But yeah. I can only do that for like a year or two, right. You know. And then after like the third year of raising fees, I'm like, okay, I have got to raise these now, because now my profit, now I'm basically paying the lab, to, right. You know. To, so, but yeah, I try to, because I don't know. I like to. What I've learned is, if I keep, especially for diagnostics, if I keep my prices as low as I can, yeah. I can do more.
Sure.
So if people can get a blood test and a urinalysis for the price of a clinic's just blood test, hey, I get more information. I'm doing better medicine, you know, so that's kind of my thing. But I also don't have a brick and mortar building with technicians to pay and likes to keep on. I have technicians to pay, but you know what I mean? Like you have a whole different world than I.
Well, there's, you know, there's a simple IRA, and there's health insurance that we provide for everybody, and there's, you know, overtime that inevitably happens because we're always there after closing. You know, and if, I mean, think about this, the most healthy practice, not the most healthy practice, that's wrong. A very healthy practice is considered 20% profitable, you know. So that means a very healthy practice is doing phenomenal, which is, by the way, the vast minority of practices. Uh-huh. Vast, vast, vast minority. You know that as well as I do. 20%. So that means 80 cents of every dollar goes out the door. 80 cents of every buck that comes in goes right out the door. I mean, if you really wrap your head around that, you can understand why we have to really be careful about watching our P's and Q's. And we have to, unfortunately, keep up with the paces of the cost of doing business. Oh, and you know what else goes up? My local government likes to gouge the crap out of me. Federal government, not so bad, actually. It's the local government. Do you guys have a tangible tax? I don't even know what the hell that means.
Oh, God. Well, in Illinois, we don't. But in Missouri, we have a personal property tax.
Okay. Oh, personal property. So that's not like your house?
No.
Property tax?
This is – it's a way to gouge people.
Okay.
Which – and it's linked to your driver's license. So you go to get your driver's license renewed, and they say, oh, about how much do you have in, like, computers and clothes and just, like, you know, stuff around your house? $10,000 worth? Okay, we'll pay a percentage of that.
Oh, my God.
Totally. Yeah. Illinois doesn't have it, thank God. So some people in Missouri will actually try to get an Illinois driver's license just because it's usually –
holy cow.
You know.
Yeah, you're on the right side of the border on that one.
Yeah, but Illinois gouges you for everything else because Illinois is broke and all of our governors are in jail. So, you know, we have different, like to get my LLC for my practice in Missouri was $25 one time. To get my LLC in Illinois was $500 the first time and $250 a year every year after that. So big difference there. So the personal property tax, not so bad. It's all relative.
Depends, I guess, on how much property you have or declare.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, because as a business owner, it sucks to be in Illinois, but oh well, it's where I live.
We got this thing called business tangible tax, and I don't know what it means. I don't even know how they come up with the figure, because there's also a commercial property tax. So I got the commercial property tax, and then the tangible tax has quadrupled since I bought the hospital in 2004. Or did I say property tax or tangible tax?
Tangible tax.
Yeah, the tangible tax. Property tax has gone up, you know, as the value of the commercial property goes up, as it normally does. That's all. It's almost somewhat reasonable. But the tangible tax keeps exponentially increasing, and I'm like, what is this? Like, what? And all my accountant can ever tell me is, yeah, it's just basically your right to do business.
But
it's tangible. It looks pretty damn intangible to me, but whatever.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Because tangible would be like personal property. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like tangible things.
Tangible things. You can touch them.
Yes.
But so these things are going to continue, folks. The tangible taxes are going to go up. The fees are going to go up. We have to keep pace. And at some point, you're not going to be able to afford it. Get pet insurance. I'm a huge advocate of it. We've got to move that needle of the 3% in this country. It's just... it's really bad. Because have you ever talked to a European practitioner?
Actually, I have a friend who practices in Italy.
Is she a happy vet?
Well, she was a new grad, so she was still kind of in shock, I think. I'll have to give her a couple years and then ask her. Because she shadowed me when I was working out of practice, and then I kept up with her. She's in a clinic in Milan, and Milan's kind of a crazy city anyway. So I don't know. I'll have to ask her again now that it's been 6 months.
Yeah, so my understanding is, and I was trained under a cardiologist when I was in vet school. Jörg Büchler is his name. He went to veterinary school in Germany, practiced in Germany, came over here, got double boarded, internal medicine straight up, and then cardiology. He's a pretty smart guy. He told me that the quality of life as a veterinarian in Germany is phenomenal because you had all these, and this is a long time ago, okay? This isn't even like yesterday or last week or, you know, last year even. We're talking early 2000s, right?
He's telling me,
yeah, so many people have pet insurance. They don't, you know, you give them a treatment plan, an estimate, whatever you want to call it, and they just, yep, no problem. I got pet insurance. It's all good. And that's half your clientele, you know, versus us, that 97% of them don't have that. And, you know, they see the estimate.
Well, and sometimes. I will say, the 97% who don't, warning. When do you think about buying pet insurance? Usually it's after the vet has told you that your dog has ruptured its ACL or its cruciate ligament and needs $3,000 surgery. The thing is, if you buy pet insurance now, it is now a pre-existing condition and is not covered.
Correct.
And everybody says, will you please change the date on the record? And I always say, no, I'm too cute for jail. So,
right. I've
no,
that,
that's called fraud.
That's fraud, yeah.
So very I'm bad. Sorry, but now, so I mean, now if your dog is limping, I don't know about this, if this is a loophole, if your dog is limping and you would get pet insurance before there's a diagnosis, that might not be a bad idea. You know,
if it says anywhere on a medical record that the dog presented for limping, even if it's undiagnosed, they'll still call it pre-existing. Even true pain would, yeah. And here's the other kicker. Because if they blow one ACL and then you get insurance, well, since 80% of dogs statistically will blow the other ACL within 1 year's time of the first rupture, they'll consider that pre-existing as well.
Oh, bummer.
Yep, they do. So even if they want to cover it to protect for the other leg, no bueno, it's already happened.
Okay, so basically you just need to if your dog you think is a cruciate dog at all, just get it beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, thing about Trupanion that's cool is if you get the policy while the pet is a puppy or kitten, and you don't let your policies lapse every year, you lock in that puppy and kitten rate for the rest of the pet's life.
Oh, that's a good deal.
The key is to not let it lapse, but big proponent of it.
When there's some businesses, one of my clients, she's actually a really good friend of mine. Her job provides pet insurance.
Yes, correct. We've been toying. My company's been toying with that as well.
But she works for like a TV news station, like not animal related at all. You know?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. No, she works for the local Fox affiliate, and they just got bought out. And she's like, I have this pet insurance, and I mean, she's my friend. I'll always be her vet just because we're friends. And it's the same deal where she pays me and gets reimbursed. You know? And so she just. I was like, let me know what happens. So I saw what the maximum amount they would charge for. And so some stuff I kind of had to lower my prices to match it, but she's my friend. So whatever. But yeah, it was kind of interesting. I'm like, this is free from your job at Channel 2. Like, you know, it just seems kind of weird.
These days you're lucky if you get insurance for yourself from your employer, really, you know, it's,
I know. But I think the pet insurance, I don't think it costs very much. And I think maybe if a small percentage of their staff have pets, it's something that they can look good and say, we offer pet insurance, but only maybe two people take them up on it, you know?
Right.
So
we're
health insurance everybody needs. So
yeah, no doubt. So I thought about, we're thinking about actually getting Trupanion insurance coverage for all of our, employees' pets. And reason being is that, if they're only on the hook for 10% of it, we're paying their premium. They can still have the workups, and it actually ends up working out better for them than their employee discount, whatever that mathematics is. So this is actually a growing trend in the industry. I'm just a little scared to go there because it sounds expensive, but we're trying to running the numbers right now to see if that's something we can look into.
Huh? Yeah. Let me know. That's interesting, actually. But you better find, and the thing is, too, I think it's worth pointing out, it's not just the company you choose, it's the policy you choose.
Oh, sure.
Because each company has like freaking 10 different policies, some of them, and you're like, it's overwhelming sometimes. Look at all these, and like, well, this one covers this, and so much fine print, and it's just, yeah, so it's a lot of work.
And breed overrides, too. So like if you have an English Bulldog, for example, most of them are going to have a high maintenance breed override or whatever
right.
they call it, because everything's going to go wrong with that dog in its lifetime. So, but I would like you to touch on the next resolution. This is how I phrased it. Stop falling for gimmicky pet food and stick with trusted, reputable brands. Why don't you get us started on this one?
Oh boy. Well, I'm still working on my ebook on this topic of what you really need to feed your pet versus what the college intern in the marketing department at Blue Buffalo thinks you should feed your pet, which are two very different things. But I think with pet food and with anything, hype is just hype. It's not fact. It's not science. It's hype. And I have so many things I see where people – and it changes, okay, mm-hmm. like – gluten, there was nothing wrong with gluten 10 years ago, and now everything has to be gluten-free, you know?
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with byproducts.
What annoys me, I'm going to rant.
Tell me what annoys you, Roger.
What really annoys me is that the companies, the food manufacturers, I'm not even talking pet food, I'm talking human. They do it in the pet food side, but they cater to it.
Oh, absolutely. They
gluten
feed it.
Gluten-free. And so,
yeah.
So now they're justifying people's unfounded fear about gluten when they don't have celiac disease, which is the only contraindication for gluten.
Yes.
You know, again, I'm not a human doctor, so maybe there's some others out there. And my point is...
But it's a bandwagon thing.
It's a bandwagon thing. And I, you know, hey, I saw this one guy real quick. He's a friend of mine. And he's sitting there. We're at – do you have Pizzeria Uno's? Is that a chain near – it's a Chicago pizzeria,
yes,
so I imagine it's got to be – all right, so
yes.
We have him here. I'm sitting down, and he orders a gluten-free pizza, and I'm like
– oh, gag
like,
me.
What are you doing? What's with the gluten-free? He goes, oh, I want to lose some weight. I'm like, so you know there's probably actually more calories in that gluten-free pizza because I got to add so much sugar and other crap to it.
Never mind all the cheese and pepperoni and everything else that he's eating. We'll just ignore that. But okay.
here's the best part, Karen. He to swallow down the pizza, he orders a Corona. I'm like, you know the Corona is not gluten-free, right? Shut up.
I know, exactly.
Right? So anyway.
Oh, there's this video blog, total tangent, but there's a video blog. I can't remember what it's called. It's on YouTube. I think it's called The Spiritual Life, and he's not paying me to – I don't even know who this guy is, but he's hilarious. Anyway, he's this red-haired guy who is – very serious and very spiritual, and the whole thing is so ragingly sarcastic. It totally, Dr. Roger, it's like right up our alley, okay?
I think I've seen it. So I'm almost positive I've seen it.
Yes, and he talks about living a gluten-free life and how
yes.
you are only need gluten-free food when other people are around.
Right.
And when no one is watching,
right.
you no longer need gluten-free food. Like all this, it's hilarious. So, but it's so true. It's such a fad. And before that, everything had to be fat-free, remember?
Sure.
Oh, my gosh.
That
I would
was,
eat
that was
an
the
entire...
90s. That
oh, yes. Oh, do you know...
5,000 pounds of sugar, but fat-free.
Exactly. The gallon milkshakes I would drink every night. But it's fat-free,
it's
you know.
Free.
So
hey, it's all good.
Yeah. Well, it's health food.
Yeah, as you well know, the big thing with the pet foods is the grain-free. Why don't you elaborate on that a little
bit? Yeah. Well, for cats, I'm not as violently opposed to it, but I always say that in dogs, grain-free is great for business because so many dogs cannot tolerate it. It's rich, and there's nothing wrong with, like, fiber, really.
Yeah.
So, I recommend, like, when your dog's sick, what do you feed it? Rice, bread, you know? So, I see so many dogs with this chronic loose stool, or just, like, they'll have loose stool, and then we'll fix it, and they'll have normal stool for a month. And then they'll have loose stool and we'll fix it. And they're like, he ate something in the yard. And finally I'm like, are you feeding grain-free food? Just try feeding grain-containing food for a month and call me. And you know what? They never come back for loose stool again.
Right.
Because, so I'm like, guys, they're not, it's, I have some dogs who can tolerate it, but it is a calorie bomb. I mean, this stuff is so calorie dense. if you want to make your dog fat, feed it grain-free food and coconut oil. Okay, because guaranteed an obese dog. So,
and a lot of these folks are coconut oil people. So
yeah, but two fads that are like colliding very badly. Yeah. You know,
it's a perfect storm of fat dog.
Yes,
with diarrhea.
Yes.
You talked about blue buffalo, right? So the
let me point out something. This is funny. So I thought blue buffalo had started the marketing battle, but somebody showed me a video from like 1999 of Purina actually saying, "We don't have corn as our first ingredient." And I was like, really?
Yeah,
because I always thought, because buffalo is the big, you know, byproduct thing. But this ad from Purina was like, we don't use corn as our first ingredient, like other ones. And then I think they said, like, wink, wink, science diet, wink, wink, you know.
Yep.
But I don't have anything against Purina or science. I recommend Purina usually in science diet. But I just found it interesting how they were among the first to cast the stone.
They were the original corn phobics.
Apparently,
is that
this
ground
was news
zero
until
for
I
that
saw this
horrible, horrible corn is the devil crowd. Oh my God, I can't deal. At any rate, blue buffalo. Let's talk about them for a moment. Blue buffalo. The only thing good about blue buffalo is their marketing department.
They're brilliant.
Yeah, they're brilliant. I mean, the commercials are great. They've convinced a lot of people to pay a ton of money for something that
it
doesn't agree with the dogs. A lot of them don't have nice looking hair coats. Like you just said, they don't have nice looking stools. And the owners are just amazed, really? But it's so expensive. It is indeed. It is expensive. But that doesn't make it better. It most certainly does not make it better. But I'm kind of thinking like a little bit of a shame on Hills as well. You know, they came out with the Ideal Balance.
Everyone's bandwagoning now.
Yeah. So on one hand, Hills is like screaming from the rooftop saying, God, this whole grain-free thing is ridiculous. Guess what? We have a grain-free diet now.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Well, because you know what? You're going to go where there's money to be made. And yeah. I was at a lecture, I think it was Purina, and they were coming out with their natural version of their prescription, like their upset tummy diet is called EN, and they're coming out with their natural version, which didn't have byproducts. And I think the guy said that there's a 25% upcharge. And I raised my hand in the room and said, is that an idiot charge? And they said, yeah, pretty much.
An idiot charge.
I'm a witch. I'm sorry. That's I was funny. Then eating the free food. I was good. So, but I'm like, I mean, okay, that just shows right there. It's just it's just a marketing ploy.
It's all,
you know,
marketing.
I mean,
well, they got people convinced that animal byproduct is hair and hooves, right? Which it could be. I'm sure there's some diets out there with
feed their dog hooves to clean their teeth, but
true.
I digress.
Right. But it's not a great nutritional source, and it's technically protein, not anything you can really utilize. Okay, I get that. But realistically, byproduct is brain, it's kidneys, it's
liver.
Really nutritious.
Have you ever eaten liver?
I never have. I probably have. I've eaten hot dogs, which probably has...
Oh, you've eaten everything.
That probably
has
hoof in it, actually. Yeah. So, but these things are nutritious, but, you know, most people don't want to... Like my mother-in-law from Illinois, grew up on a farm. She likes to fry chicken hearts in Crisco.
Wow.
Smells up the house something awful, but she loves it. Most people aren't eating chicken hearts, though, but the chicken hearts are actually quite nutritious, and they're really good for the dog. That's byproduct, you know, so it's not necessarily a horrible thing. But it's been marketed to be the devil, of course.
Right. And whenever something's, here's just a good tip to live by. Whenever something is totally the devil or totally your savior, look at it deeper, because pretty much nothing in this world, well, a few things are like truly, well, things in this world that have been around for a really, really long time and are suddenly bad.
Mm-hmm.
Be suspect, you know, like byproducts have been in food. Corn has been in pet food for years and years and years. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden it's bad. It's like, whose idea was this? But again, maybe we're just jealous that we didn't think of it. But I will also say, too, that we didn't think of it. We're not making the millions off of it.
Right,
we're just bitter, poor veterinarians. But I will say I have had dogs as patients who I have seen do well on everything. I have had dogs who do well on Blue Buffalo. And I'm like, you know what? If your dog doesn't have loose stool and his coat looks good and if for some reason it works with him, go with it. I actually had a dog. I'll never forget this. The owner was feeding Old Roy, which is like the ultimate like worst of dog foods. This dog looked fantastic. I will never forget this because I was his coat was shiny and phenomenal. His body condition was perfect. He was well-muscled. And I was like, are you sure it's all right? He was like, yeah, I'm just an old farmer guy. You know, I didn't actually doubt that. And I was like, you know what, sir? I'm going to tell you for the first time ever in my career, keep feeding your dog Old Roy. Because who am I to go changing it, you know? So when people have a dog that they're trying to find a new food for, no, that's not the first one I'd reach for. But if I have a patient who's doing well on a food, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, that's my thing. Now, if you have financial constraints, I have a lot of people who like can barely afford heartworm preventative and they're feeding some yuppie puppy $80 bag food. I'm like, okay, let's go to a normal, affordable food and let's get your dog on heartworm preventative. And they're like, oh, I can do that. I'm like, yes, you can feed a affordable food and your dog will be good. Yes. So it's a secret.
Imagine yes. that.
Yes. And your dog won't die and no one will judge you. So... anyway, or you can also stop feeding your dog 12 cups of food a day, like we were talking about earlier. That might save you some money, too. So.
That'll save you some money for sure. And it's funny. I'm glad you brought up Old Roy because I believe they're approved by this watchdog agency that I – well, so they're not really a watchdog agency. You've heard of AFCO, the American Association of Feed Control Officials. So, I mean, it's voluntary participation. It's kind of like animal hospitals can voluntarily choose to meet the American Animal Hospital Association standard. And it's voluntary and, you know, you're following a criteria. Well, I mean, I would at least start there. Look for the AFCO label. It's AAFCO. If you want
to. And it's going to be tiny and hard to find. It's going to be like on the side of the bag in that little crease at the bottom. Usually that you have to like pry it open.
Yeah, it's usually in the crease. But I believe Old Roy has an AFCO certification. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not overly impressed with AFCO, but it's a good starting point because at least there's some minimum standards there. You know, it's at least they're making an effort to be nutritious.
I guess. Right. Yeah. And like I said, and this dog looked freaking phenomenal. I almost got a picture. The guy was like wondering why I was freaking out so much. But I was like, you don't understand. Your dog is an anomaly. Yeah. So.
Well, a dog like that probably would have done fine on Bill Jack. That's another one. Yeah, Bill Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And for the little ones, it's the little toy dog that's always Caesar. Do you have that?
Oh, yeah.
Little cans of Caesar.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I have people who, oh, my gosh, I had a patient earlier this week who the dog has never eaten dog food in its whole life, ever. Oh, the dog's goodness. 13. I say, what does he eat? Well, let's see. For breakfast this morning, we had oatmeal and some bacon, and then whatever the owners eat. They just make a third plate, basically. And the dog was obese. You know, who's shocked? But they're like, well, we'd like to get him on dog food. What would you recommend? And I'm like, honestly, guys, he's 13 at this point.
Good luck.
Really? Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, any dog food I'm going to suggest is going to be like the McDonald's of dog foods because it's got to be Uber, like those Caesar ones.
Yeah.
Pretty much every dog eats Caesar, okay? It's not the super nutritional champion of the world, but it's like the French fries of dog food, you know? Yeah. So everyone's going to eat it. And so I'm like, so we're going to have you stop doing that and put them on Caesar or, you know? I'm like, it's worked for 13 years.
Yeah.
10 years, the veterinarian me 10 years ago would have been like, his calcium phosphorus balance is off and he's going to, you know, and oh my God, I'm like a fit. And now I'm like, I've mellowed with age and I'm like, it's cool.
Well, I wonder if the shock of going from a people diet to being on dog food would just kill the dog. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. I'm like, obviously he's doing okay, but oh my gosh, this is this one. I used to work at one of the big, large animal shelters in the area. And we got this stray dog in that was morbidly obese. We're like, how is this dog stray? How could he walk far enough from home to be stray?
Wow.
Okay. Like no one knew how this was even possible. So of course his owner was very, very worried about him. And we had the dog in there. I think I wasn't there at the time. I heard this from a friend who dealt with the dog. And like 3 days, the dog would not eat, which in a shelter is not that uncommon because they're stressed out, you know. But they tried everything to get this dog to eat. And they tried canned food. They tried Caesar, you know, which is usually magic. They tried everything. Nothing would work. So the owner shows up to claim his dog, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's Big Mac. He's like, and they're like, well, Big Mac wouldn't eat forest. He's like, oh, all Big Mac eats is Braunschweiger. We were like, and that's why Big Mac looks like he does.
Oh, my
all
goodness.
The dog would eat was Braunschweiger. So
wow.
Don't be that dog. But
so, but usually dogs like that, they're still not going to be that finicky, right? I mean, especially after
well, they, this dog, if it's, well, because Braunschweiger is like the holy grail for dogs. It's like what I use. Like when I can't get a pill on a dog and all tricks have failed, I'm the, you know, vegetarian buying Braunschweiger in the store. And then the farmer next to me is like, hey, that's a good brand. I'm like, oh, don't you know it, you know? So, but I'm like, it's for my dog. I'll just, okay, have a nice day. So, but... But yeah, so some dogs are. But anyway, I don't know how I got on that tangent. I'm sorry, I'm tangenting really bad tonight.
We, you know, we're both very tangent prone this evening. I think, I think it's been a little bit of a layoff. We're getting back into the swing of things, but definitely good to be chatting with you again. Like I said, I feel like it's the therapy half the time.
I know. I think our tangents are also kind of like venting. Like, can you believe this one?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I got this for you. Yeah. No, it's good. It's always in good fun. You got any other resolutions before we sign off here?
No, I think I covered it. You had the blog article, and I think your resolutions were really good.
Well, they're on the top of my list, and you know I do one of those every year, and there's a couple that usually make the list consistently, but I like to be a little different every year. But anyway, it's a lot of fun to write, and I'm going to try to stick by those resolutions myself, minus the pet insurance, because obviously medical care doesn't cost me anything for my pets.
Yeah. So. I actually had a relative who was like, oh, my God, you know, do you know how lucky you are that you can get all this, like, because I have a bunch of animals that are medical disasters, and you can take care of them all, and it's all free. And I'm like, yeah, I am so lucky. All I did was, like, go to vet school and get six figures in debt, and now I get free vet care.
Yeah.
So, hey, totally worth it.
Totally worth it.
Totally. No, and she was like, oh.
Yeah. Actually, don't forget the 4 years of undergrad. Yeah, that's
oh, yeah, but that was
paid for as well.
They paid me to go to undergrad, so I was very lucky.
Okay.
But well, I'll stop bragging about that.
No, it's all good. That's great. That's a great thing. I mean, I basically played lacrosse in college. You know, that's... and dated girls. That's pretty much was what I did in undergrad, so I can't really complain too much about those 4 years. Anyway, so I guess we'll be getting back together next week. Is your crazy per diem schedule going to allow
Yeah,
that?
Well, I'm just taking one day at a time, baby, because that's all I can do.
So we are just going to pledge to podcast as often as possible. We're not committing. We're going to come out here as often as we can. Well, have a good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and Happy New Year to all of you, belated.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Good night.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox. Bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.